So, Sean,
What's
are
up?
you ready to tell the people why their audio face is 2 days late?
Because Trump excites the lizard brain of a certain kind of neoliberal is the reason why.
That relate to you? How's that relate to you?
Why? Because the neoliberals are putting me down. No, I had like, st Jesus, I had way too many things to do. I'm becoming Dan now. I don't like this.
Do you have 50 tabs in your computer?
Oh my God, I have 105 plus three that are borderline illegal. That's how hard I'm
Have
going.
illegal tabs?
That's how
Oh
left.
man.
I have my entire laptop is an incognito right now.
Well, if there's an episode of Audio Phase and Neutralizing that kills the network, this might be
Oh, this is gonna
it.
be it. This is gonna be it. Especially after the national anthem. Oh God.
Hello, humans, and
Hey.
welcome to Audio Face. This is
Night
episode 37. I'm
Nightcast.
Dan.
I'm Sean.
Yeah, this is a night cast. This is also a late cast because
Wives.
Sean, busy triathlete over here, had a really busy Sunday. Things were really hard to like work out our usual recording schedule. So we're recording this on Monday night. I'm going to edit it on Monday night. It's going to go up, get uploaded realistically Tuesday night, Tuesday morning, really.
Yeah, it's nine. It's
And
9:15 here in the People's Republic of California.
yeah, and in the Federation of the People's Republic of California, that is the People's Republic of Berkeley Young Free Speech Studios up here. Now, in the time it takes for us to, like, this is the fun inside baseball part of the podcast. And the time it takes to upload it, for me to edit it, the extra editing I'll have to do because we have a no-chill island this week.
Oh, we're gonna get banned.
So let's talk about this week on Audio Face, our music, news, and culture podcast. We have some new singles to talk about. Half of us saw Black Panther. A whole of us saw listened to Carsey Tadbirett's new album, Twin Fantasy, and No Chill Island. It's gonna be real. There's Fergie, there's Cardi B, there's the Gallagher's. There's gonna be a lot of bad things I really shouldn't say, but we're
Oof.
gonna have fun. How are you doing, Sean? No, seriously, you had a pretty rough week for you,
Rough like
like
2 weeks. It's like
schedule-wise.
just train, sleep, work, school, train, sleep, pet cat, try to figure out if my cat's dying or not. Cool, not dead, laying on my bed. Repeat. There you go.
That's long hours.
It's a
Scary
lot.
hours.
It's just, yeah. I'm racing soon, so it's like it'll be worth it in the long run. But that's why we're doing a night cast. So, and I wish it was at 11 o'clock because at 11 o'clock Sean gets really weird. And that's when things are said, but 9 o'clock is almost there. So when we get hit that 10 o'clock mark at that No Chill Island, things are gonna be said.
Dude, I need to devote the edginess of 11 o'clock Dan to the problem sets that I still haven't need to finish. So
That's
let's not do
rough.
that, but
That's
let's
rough.
talk about, dude, I am so ready to graduate. Oh my God. let's talk about the new singles of the week, because I think there were some
There's a
pretty good
couple.
new singles this week.
Oh yeah.
First of all, Beach House, a really cool indie outfit that I've been following for quite a while. They're previewing their next album with an album called Lemon, with a song called Lemon Glow. The full album should come out later this spring. And what can I say about Beach House? They can't fuck up a song. Like,
One of those indie bands where
really?
it's like damn good stuff every time. Like Service and Pickups or
Yeah.
so, yeah. Like how?
Every time I listen to a new Beach House song for like the first time, I legitimately get a little bit of chills because they just have this like really eerie but like really powerful sound. And I guess to semi spoil our conversation about Is Rock Dead from a couple of weeks ago, we kind of came out of that by saying rock is changing a lot and is a really pivotal moment for it makes or breaks. And one key thing to watch in rock is going to be indie music. And Beach House is like the top of indie for me, I would say.
Yeah, and I mean that's what a couple of the albums that we reviewed last time with like MGMT, that's the style if you can it's the style of rock that I think is going to be more prevalent. Or, wow, why am I blanking on the name? Who won Rock Album of the Year at the Grammys?
National.
No, it was
No?
God damn it. This is, by the way, for the people, this is what happens when we have a nightcast where our brains are like
This is gonna be great. It's just gonna be a bunch of us.
typing, trying to figure out the life the li wow, how do English words good? Anyways, just move on. I'll figure it out. Hold on.
It's fine. I will move on. So basically the sound of it, it's like soft, but just like powerful, I guess. That's basically the way I can come away from the single. I just definitely recommend listening to it because just like quite this very tightly produced but still true to indie kind of song, I guess, if you will. So that's really good. Sean, did you figure that time or that band out yet? That's really annoying because when we say it, because it was the one you remembered to mention on the
Yeah, hold on.
award show podcast, I remember.
God, and
Still looking for it?
I see his face. I literally know like the stupid couple of the songs because I listen to it a lot. There we go, The War on Drugs. Jesus. Deeper understanding.
There we go.
That's because
I know it's
it's
one of those
not
the bands.
I'm like I could see it's because he's really, really long hair and that's an amazing album. Because like look, his album isn't really hard rock at all. It's more indie, alternative style, and that's what you can see more prevalent. And I think that's, and we said that's gonna be the future. And Beach House is that style. So if you're into that, go listen to Lemon Glow. It's good shit.
Yeah. Definitely, if you've liked Beach House's stuff before, listen to it. If you haven't heard of Beach House before, listen to their old stuff. It's really good. It's kind of like an offshoot of Mac DeMarco, but I'd say like whereas Mac DeMarco sometimes gets a little bit random, sometimes and kind
Well,
of
Mac
goes into
DeMarco
its own like weirdness.
is annoying hipster. These people are actually good musicians. Damn,
Yeah,
hot
I think
take.
they're Beach House and Mac DeMarco are related in some way. I think they've like worked together. But anyways,
I believe they have. I don't remember.
let's
Anyways.
get to when I sent Sean this, he was like, "What?" Because this is really interesting and very pivotal to our Is Rock Dead conversation. But Thought Contagion by Muse, it's a single that got released.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I want to know what you think about it for sure.
Well, it's like a mixture of their old and new. Like how their single a while ago, like in the summertime when we first started Audio Face, was kind of that same theme to it of blending the second law with drones sound, where the old sound with what they tried to do in 2012. And I, you know, we've already talked about how much I like that album, and a lot of people don't. But you know, they're simpletons. And so that's that style. I mean, Muse definitely have a sound, and they have to be careful because they can like it's like Franz Ferdinand the same way, where they can kind of get to that sound and go a little too much into it. But this is promising. At first, there's a couple part like the first like minute of the song. I go, no, please don't. And then it got weird and fun. So, and that's what I like. They're trying to, and apparently it's about memes. So that makes it even better. The song is.
Yeah,
That's what I was like. What? I'm like, it's about memes? What?
the best way you can describe this album is like what or like the song and what to look forward to, assuming they're coming out with a new album, I believe, right? Yeah.
Yes.
The new album's in the works but not finished. So we might see that out maybe in 2018, maybe early 2019. I don't know. I'd almost forgotten that Muse had released a single, Dig Down, a while ago,
Dig Down,
actually,
there we
too.
go. Yeah,
Yeah.
that was the one that was in summer because that's when we first started Audio Face, because I remember listening to that and when I had ADM class, so that's last
Yeah.
semester or 2 semesters
That's
ago.
definitely that's a while ago.
Damn,
Yeah,
that is a
so
while.
there's seems like they're working on music slowly. I haven't listened to Dig Down recently enough to be able to compare that with this. And I guess in situations like this, we are like kind of breaking our Audio Face rule of only listening to one single before the album comes out, because chances are
But
Dig
that's
Down
like
and this are probably on the next album. But this
it's
is like it's
almost a
like the
year
Beck thing
apart.
where, yeah. It's like there's no album's been set announced in stone yet, and it might be a while till we see another one. But also, on the topic of the album, I like what you said earlier, where it's promising, but I'm definitely going to reserve a lot of judgment, because back to my bigger point about, like, how is it like Muse? How is it not like Muse? It's like Muse in the sense that it's trying to make some sort of, like, social commentary thing, which is, like, okay. Always. Sometimes Muse has been really, like, good and pointing on that. Sometimes they kind of, for lack of a better term, drone on. But it didn't seem like they're, like, bludgeoning you over the head with the point in this one. It seemed a lot, like, more tightly written. And, yeah, it had Muse's style in a sense, but it also had some of the, I guess, you know, just tweaking with different sounds. I don't know if I'll say newer, because it's not like a quote-unquote 2018 sound with some of the trends. Like, there's no trap snare, like the little muffled drum thing I'm starting to get in songs more. I didn't quite remember from my, like, one or two listens to it. But no, generally it's a promising thing. But, like, Muse, and we may have talked about this in the rock conversation, they've been all over the place. Like, the second law, they tried to do something really different, with mixed success, I would say. And before that, they had, were one of those bands that were beginning to sound, like, really stagnant, having their own sound. So I want Muse to sound well. I previously considered them one of my favorite bands. But yeah, I'm interested. Any last thoughts on that?
No, I'm just looking forward to a full release, hopefully soon.
Yeah, that they'd be cool to see live. I haven't seen them live yet.
Yeah, I haven't either, actually. That'd be good. Fund us, podcasters, podcast listeners, whatever. Okay, cool. God, right. I'm losing my mind.
Next, Look Back by Diplo and Drom. I wanted to make sure Sean heard this, because Sean versus electronic music, I wanted to, like, now that we're starting to, like, get the limits of Sean's electronic music, like, well, listening ability.
Because I've been listening, I mean, I'm an OG. Listen to stuff in Boilerroom.tv in 2007.
You're a bit of a purist, let's say.
I'm a purist, yeah. I want that pure, I want that grade A cocaine, all right? Don't give me that on that burnt bullshit, all right? If I want an 8-ball, I want an 8-ball. All right.
Knock, knock, it's USADA.
Knock, knock, it's USADA. Like, you just hear me slam my laptop down, throw my cat at them, and just, like, run out the door. It's like Loki hailing, or, like, hailed here earlier. And even this hailing, I don't care. I'm going to run.
Okay, in this episode of the Californians, can we talk about the weather for a moment? Because it, so first of all,
what the hell?
It's 1 degrees Celsius here.
It's one, like, there.
It's legit freezing. There's a cold front coming through Free Spirit Studios in Northern California right now, and it's just
it's a solid 7 right here.
And I was about to go shopping, actually, and then just started hailing around 4 p.m. And I was like, nope, I guess I am just going to have some toast for dinner.
Just going to have some Coke for dinner.
I said toast.
Are you going to butter it loud?
Can you believe, that we're about 13, 14 minutes in audio face, and you've made more drug references than me?
That's beautiful. That's the mood I am. That's my brain today.
I just imagined those, like, FBI memes when instead of the FBI texting you, it's just USADA.
I'm just like, hello, I'm here. Oh my god, it's gonna be cold as balls tomorrow too. That's nice. Cool.
Oh yeah, what starts up, like, eventually comes down to Long Beach and LA. But let's talk about, speaking of California, that's going to be the name of Diplo's upcoming album, or upcoming work. I think it's an EP, actually. But this song, Look Back, is part of that. And it's different, I want to say, right? I really wanted Sean to listen to it because I wanted to get his thoughts. I think that's how this original tangent started. With Drom's voice, it's different from the usual, like, kind of whiny European, like, someone singing some chorus in the middle that you get from most electronic music that Sean and I kind of criticized for Don Diablo, I think, last week. It's been a wild week. But, you know, with Drom, it's not that. Drom, one of our, like, favorite singers from last year as well. But Sean, what'd you think about it?
It was actually really good. I didn't expect it from Diplo, because a lot of the stuff is hypey-typey bullshit, as I said. With Don Diablo last week, where a lot of the songs could do that. And Drom was featured on Gorillaz, on Human's album, and it's kind of that same theme where it's slow, methodical, good electronic and good vocals, nothing too cheesy or bullshitty. Or anything, so like solid. And when is the album coming out? Does it say?
The EP, I don't know, but like so many different things have been saying like coming in mid-March, coming in mid-March. That like
everything's coming in mid-March.
I'm just like getting my anus ready for mid-March. It's gonna be wild. Okay, it says later out this year. Oh wait, no. Yeah. So California's coming out later in March, and Drum has a project coming out later on this year.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be great. But yeah, mid-March, let's just get ourselves ready for that. But yeah, I was glad you listened to it. You listened to it right before the podcast, actually, because mm-hmm. I told you to. And
so it's fresh in my brain.
Oh right, I forgot. Audio Face Pod. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
We're at Audio Face Pod. It's simple. We're doing social stuff there. Talk to us about different music to listen to. Talk about us about the show. Also, rate us on any podcast app, whatever. iTunes, Google Play, Pocket Casts. You know what to do. Love us. But yeah, let's get into the news now. And we have an update on Drake. We all saw the video for God's Plan. And I guess to vent off a little bit of steam we have right now, we do have a little bit of chill. And so the fact that Drake gave away like almost $1 million, more or less. Yeah, he filmed it and it's like helping people porn, I guess. It's this,
allegedly.
You know, my self-righteousness thing of like, oh, it's so nice that you did this like major thing, but like just pay your taxes.
Right.
Not accusing Drake of not paying taxes. But, you know, I wish this would be less of like a one celebrity did a couple good deeds and oh, this is so nice versus let's make actual proper societal changes, but hashtag no politics. It's still like, damn. It's still nice. And I was shitting on it a little bit last week, but you know, it's nice. And
Drake's fine, I guess.
And Drake's fine, I guess. I guess both Sean and I wanted to get that out of the way. Next, Black Panther. So Sean listened to the soundtrack pretty extensively. Did you get to listen to the other soundtrack as well?
Other soundtrack?
Or just the... So there were two soundtracks to this. There was the one that was like a more traditional soundtrack, and then there was the one that Kendrick Lamar produced. So the one you're probably like basically familiar with.
The Kendrick Lamar one, that's 49 Minutes Long. Yeah.
So that's not too relevant. It's fine. I'll just make like a minor aside point about that. But the Black Panther soundtrack that most people are talking about is the one that was that was produced by Kendrick Lamar. That is like amazing, and yeah, that's kind of like my opinions of it. And it accompanies the Black Panther film, which I got to see this weekend. Sean, because he does 19 different things, didn't. But
no, actually, I tried for the people, but I have negative time. So,
what'd you think about the album musically? And then maybe I can jump in with like how it worked with the film.
I actually really liked it. I was kind of, that was interesting for, because like most superhero movies and stuff, they have like shitty soundtracks. Oh, like, no, I shouldn't say shitty soundtracks. They have really cheesy soundtracks or something that isn't like that great. And when I looked at this first, I saw like there's a lot of people that were featured on it. And I'm like, we'll see. But it actually...
Starfuck.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a giant starfuck, but it kind of wasn't. It was, well, I mean, it was, but it wasn't the bad type where it just, like the second song, let's see, I know that was a SZA. Yeah, All the Stars.
All the Stars of SZA, yeah.
That song was really hard. That's a really, really good song. Pretty much just about most of the soundtrack I like.
That's good to hear. That's interesting, because you're not, like, super big on rap, but, like...
Well, I do like Kendrick, because I don't like trap.
Right, you're definitely liking, in what this is sort of becoming, a West Coast rap kind of person, in a contemporary sense.
And, yeah, I'll have another news update after this, but we'll, I'll talk about
this will be interesting. Put this two stories ahead because I can segue between this and the next one decently well.
It's something just to be quick.
Check out this live production slash this is 2 days late. Sorry, y'all.
Yeah.
But so getting to see the film. So what I was kind of working out with Sean earlier about the logistics of, there are two soundtracks of this. There's Black Panther, the album music from M inspired by like the film, that's Kendrick Lamar, that most people are listening to. And then there's like a traditional film soundtrack that has kind of like the ambience and the backdrop to it. And so you get that ambience backdrop music to most of the film. And then there are certain like action parts, like big sweeping like scenes where you can see the landscapes and everything. Where you're kind of incorporating the other parts of the music. Oh, and by the way, there aren't going to be any spoilers for this part of the
podcast. No, because we're not.
Yeah. The way we do the Audio Face podcast is with movie reviews is that we're not going to spoil the film for you. We think you should absolutely go see the film. We're just going to try to focus on the music aspects as possible and maybe touch on the film slightly, but not too much. but
I do.
I will. What? What?
No, you just go to our drive. Hold on. I think I can unfuck this.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
Good luck.
There we go. I accidentally slammed my phone on my keyboard and just like did stuff. I go, oops.
Oh, that's horrible. This is going great. Night podcast is so awesome because we are always like 100% on top of what we're doing.
Oh, shit.
But,
yeah, whatever. We'll just, whatever.
Mostly the music just pops in for some of the action scenes or some of the other ambient scenes where you're showing.
Well, I mean, naturally.
Yeah. And so for those parts, it's really cool. And I think it fits really well because one thing to reconcile is that, like, with Phantom Thread, with the other thing we reviewed so far,
the Jesus of Sound.
It was produced in a more traditional way, I guess you could say, where the music was made for the time, and it's a classical piece and like a very kind of like high society setting thing. Surprisingly, 2018 rap and trap, even as this like album kind of forays into, works in Black Panther because Black Panther has this Afro-futuristic style where you're mixing like African looks with like a 2060s, if you're optimistic about the state of society, not too distant future kind of style where it's like not quite Star Trek ahead of time, but still really like kind of amazing. But that kind of aesthetic really works with it. So it's not like the music feels too out of place. The one time I will say things get out of place is that going back to the regular, the regular soundtrack, the one that's like kind of more traditional, not by Kendrick Lamar, there are aspects where the ambient music kind of tries to delve into contemporary music and then all of a sudden like there's like a trap beat that's dropped into it. And it's mainly done for the antagonist in the movie, Killmonger, and it really doesn't make sense. I think the songs that are written for the album that are like more trappy for, they make more sense. But yeah, I will say that was one of the weird things, but that's not part of the Kendrick part. We're mostly talking about the Kendrick part. I think generally it was really good. I like Kendrick's foray in a trap with King's Dead, along with Future and J-Rock, James Blake. That song was talked about a lot before, and we talked about that a little bit on the podcast. It was really good. There's a really good scene with Ops, the Vince Staples song. I don't want to spoil it too much, but it's really good. And then Pray For Me, the Weekend song. I have been loving The Weekend too much. Not too hot. Man's not too hot for me, but this kind of redeemed my Weekend's a really cool, like, instrumentally and lyrically and good voice like kind of musician. How do English words good, because I bet that made sense. Well, but all in all,
like, I have takes on The Weeknd because I always joke saying that he's my guilty pleasure because some of his stuff I really like and some of it is really whack. Kind of depends, but that's a different conversation whenever he releases new shit, because we liked that when we talked about Starboy too, but that I knew a second.
No. I was pretty much done with my point. But what you said about The Weeknd is pretty much right. There's a lot of stuff that I think he's really good with. I liked his what he did before Starboy. I forget the name of that album, but the one with Can't Feel My Face. I liked that kind of Weekend. I think that was peak Weekend kind of. And then with Starboy, he kind of became a little bit of fuckboy.
Oh no, he became super fuckboy. But I'm trying to think. It's Beauty Behind the Madness. Let me double check.
That sounds right.
Ah, it is Beauty Behind the Madness. Yeah, because that came out in 2015. Because that, yeah, Can't Feel Your Face and The Hills. Yeah, that's right. Because Starboy, yeah, he got like super fuckboy and annoying, and I don't like. There's like two good songs on it, and those were the Daft Punk ones, and that's it. And even then, if it wasn't for Daft Punk, it would be crap. Like how Kanye's Black Skinhead would be crap without Daft Punk, kind of the same thing.
Right, yeah, Daft Punk's production definitely assisted in that. I don't know if did they produce the whole album for Starboy, or just...
No, just the two songs that they did were good.
I Feel It Coming and Starboy, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Black Panther, arbitrary score for the soundtrack. Let's use 5 kitty paws. So like stars, so more is better.
I don't want to give this. Maybe 3.75?
Yeah, I'm giving it a 4.
I was about to say 3.75 to a 4.
I'm not going to cut kitty paws, so I'm just going to go with an even 4. There's definitely some...
Damn.
We're not going to go that no chill on the podcast. I mean, it's not by any means perfect. It's a film soundtrack. It's not like necessarily going together. But I mean, for what it does, it gets the job done. And it's like a pretty legendary film soundtrack lineup. Like,
yeah.
By legendary, I mean like... We're not going to be talking about this for years, but like Black Panther is like a film in its own right that's breaking records, preliminary numbers. It's showing us like the best February showing basically to date, beating Deadpool, which is like the previous record. It's breaking records for a bunch of like different social justice reasons. It's going to be like a thing. And in this cultural moment where Kendrick Lamar is also having a big cultural moment, this album's also going to be out there. And so it's going to always be like that point in history and going, oh yeah, Kendrick produced the soundtrack for that movie that like was a cultural zeitgeist thing. And yeah. So for doing that, it did a hell of a good job. It definitely didn't disappoint. But I mean, like, as an album, this is a music podcast. This definitely can be better. And Kendrick's done better, but that's not what needed to be done here.
And it's no Phantom Thread.
Right.
That's the A standard. No, it's, now
it's, I mean, for contemporary film scoring, that is kind of the gold standard.
Like there's two gold standards. There will be Blood and Phantom Thread. Also, you could put Interstellar in there too, because Jesus Christ. But that's just a different conversation. So
the next story, I wanted to segue from Kendrick to a thing he was doing that we didn't get to talk about last episode. And I also have a bit of an apology because we're doing this podcast so late and last minute and at night. We're postponing the conversation about classical music one more week till next week. We'll definitely have...
We'll have time.
A good amount of time and hopefully a good amount of scheduling to really give that time it deserves. In a very early episode of Audio Face, I deleted the whole conversation that was. And so I'm really eager to have that again. We're about to do it tonight, but that would have been after No Chill Island. That would have been after the entire network would have exploded, and it would have been sucked to not have that conversation. But also, we are tired, and it is already 9:40 over here, and we still have quite a bit of podcast to go through. But this is more or less the conversation we can have for this episode. Kendrick Lamar is going to be one of a bunch of other artists who are going to be banning photographers or like some photographers or some amount of photography from concerts, including even banning cell phones, like having people lock their cell phones away during concerts. And basically the argument that I don't think Kendrick specifically, but a lot of other people are making is that like it takes away from the concert experience, all the usual things about like the negative effects that technology can have on being present that I think we've heard ad nauseum, but are also kind of taking a fever pitch because we're analyzing because of politics, like the negative effects that social media has on people. As if it finally took politics for people to realize that. But during the European leg of the Dam Tour, I don't even think photographers from the, like, are allowed in the pit, which is an interesting decision. Like professional photographers in that sense.
Yeah.
But what do you think? Do you think it's like, because I don't know. I have yet to go to a concert where I'm asked to like put my phone away.
But I mean, like, I like it. Sorry to cut you off. As
no
worries. There's one thing that 1975 Live from the O2, December 2016. One of the songs, performing the songs, Matty Healy, who's the lead singer, he said, "Before Falling for You," the song. Matty Healy goes, "Hey, can we just for 5 minutes be a fucking human and put our phones away, and enjoy it from the visceral memory of our of this moment that everyone can share?" And I think it's really cool for some artists to start to do that, because a lot of the times you are worried about what shot you're taking, and you're not really living in the moment. So then you try to remember back to what it was before, and it was crap. So, like, you can't really wrap your mind around what you just saw. You keep going back to what you had on your phone, and it's not the same. And you might actually mess up the memory of what you had before. And I like artists and stuff trying to do this to get more people just to be humans and to really enjoy the moment and what they're watching. Look at the art and kind of lose yourself in the moment and lose yourself in the art. And yeah. I'd like more humans to do that.
So, I don't know how much of this is going to be cut out, because this is a great podcast. But here's exactly what was happening.
Christ.
My roommate's Amazon Echo. So, this podcast is not brought to you by Bezos. In fact, I'm going to go on a little fuck Bezos rant, a little early No Chill Island right now, because Bezos can't make any piece of shit software. So, my roommate's Echo... Keep in mind, my roommate's, like, not even in this part of the state right now. But my roommate's not home.
Not even...
Like, he's on holiday because it's the President's Day weekend. And somehow his Amazon Echo speaker, and I've seen this before with people's Amazon Echoes, if they're, like, hooked up to the same Amazon account, you say something somewhere and your Echo entirely somewhere else starts doing shit. It's, like, the most ridiculous design ever. And I'm sorry if me saying the word of, like, evil Bezos assistant triggered your thing. But long story short, because of that and because of my, like, mad dash to fix that, I paused my recording, and my end of the recording. Oh, that's going to be such a disaster to edit. I paused my end of the recording, and that means that part of the conversation we're having is going to be gone. But we mostly are going to be able to come back around the part where Sean was talking about concerts and whether or not you can have phones there. And this is such a flashback to when I deleted the classical music conversation. Where I'm trying to remember what was going on.
I'm literally, like, I haven't moved my head off my laptop. It's
long
still
story
on top
short,
of there.
My response to that is essentially, I hate the people who are too preachy about having your phones at concerts, because it can be too much of a, oh, it's ruining your life, it's, phones are bad, it's ruining society thing, and I'm so sick of that hippie bullshit. But I also don't use my phone at concerts that much, so this ultimately wouldn't bother me. And no good photo has ever really come from, like, a concert unless you're up front. And by then you have a bunch of, like, 13-year-olds, like, just dancing all over you, and it's just, like, kind of disgusting usually. Treading carefully there. Anyways, we also talked about tweaking Spotify playlists, which is this cool little thing, and we'll include a link to that in the notes. Also in the notes of this podcast, you can find links to the Audio Face podcast, the Audio Face pod on Twitter and Instagram, which you should follow, our website, and what I say, the Too Soon podcast.
The Too Soon podcast.
Because they had long story short, they had an episode called The Valentine's Day Massacre, and unfortunately there was another more recent Valentine's Day massacre that was being referenced to, but that was done kind of before the episode was done. Long story short, listen to the We Made It podcast about soccer. There's a Spotify playlist generator tweaker that I'll link to, and you can tweak your playlist based on, oh, you could do major and minor key, apparently, which is pretty impressive.
Damn, whoa.
Yeah.
They're getting the Sean language now.
So apparently, I can try you and, can tweak it by, yeah, you can tweak it by tempo, instrumentalness. I'm just looking at all the dials. And then you'll see how each how all of it's presented. And there's a good Lifehacker article that talks about it. But this and the conversation about phones at concerts, we didn't get to do in a couple of previous episodes of Audio Face earlier in February. And so this is when we're kind of getting that out now. And I wanted to mention that. And then Sean, do you want to take this part away again?
Yeah.
Sorry, because it's the Johnny Greenwood late edition.
Anyways, so yeah, the master of everything, Jonathan Guy Greenwood, he said that he's scoring a new film, and I don't remember if I said this on Media Phantom Thread stuff. You were never really here from the Lim Ramsey film starring Joaquin Phoenix. That'll be out on the 6th of April, but he's releasing his soundtrack on March 9th. And so we will do a review in April of it, to kind of keep the theme with what we did back for Phantom Thread and Black Panther. So we're going to keep occasionally doing this on films that we like, and to get more music for the people. The guy's ridiculously talented, so it'll be interesting to hear how it is compared to Phantom Thread, and if it's just as good, if not better, fits the theme more, and how it sounds too, because he did some stuff with the London Contemporary Orchestra, and you'll hear electric guitars and other stuff, so it's going to be true and true Johnny music. So,
do you know anything about the film? Apparently it's been called Taxi Driver for a New Century, but I don't really listen to other reviewers of media.
Not really. I saw like a little snippet on it before, but it's like kind of a thriller type of film. So I think Joaquin Phoenix's guy is a hitman or something and trying to find a missing person or something like that. I could be totally off, but I believe that's like the general parameters of the film. I could actually do watch something on it another time, and
we'll definitely talk about it.
Give you an update or whatever. But I mean, at this point, we'll just watch the film, and then we'll talk about it when
it comes out. The film comes out the 6th of April, mm-hmm. and I think the soundtrack comes out sooner. But to maintain some kind of semblance of this being a mostly music podcast, we'll review the album soundtrack in relation to the film itself when it comes out in early April, and then we'll talk about the soundtrack or the songs and the soundtrack in context with the film as well as that itself, plus there's a lot of releases coming out in mid-March, it looks like, anyway, so that'll be a lot. Ready for Car Seat Headrest round two? We'll get us back to where we pretty much were, because thankfully I realized what was going on pretty early into that interview. So to sum up back again, Car Seat Headrest, they're a band that started from Will Toledo. He's the guy who kind of started the project, the solo project. High Traffic. Started the solo project in 2010, I want to say. Since then, they've relocated to Seattle, Washington, and have released 12 albums on Bandcamp, making them the most hipster band ever. And they've released Twin Fantasy.
They probably smoke spirits and drink some shitty beer too.
Only IPAs. Only IPAs. Car Seat Headrest. It was released just this past week. 1 hour 11 minutes, 10 songs. Its longest song is 16 hours and 10 minutes, and
16 hours.
I'm getting all of my. I messed up somehow like that in my first version of this too. So. That's always happening. But Sean, go ahead, give us your take on.
So,
I remember some of what you said. So if you miss it, I'll re
Yeah, you'll chime in. Yeah, so I genuinely like the album. It started off hot, so the first song, My Boy, in parentheses, Twin Fantasy, because, you know, hipsters need to put some shit in parentheses. It's just under 3 minutes long, and it's kind of your standard indie alternative rock song, nothing too fancy. And then the second song is like five songs into one song, where I kept looking at my phone like, wait, what the hell? Because I thought it was changing songs, but I looked, I go, oh, wait, this is one giant song that's 13 minutes long. What on earth? And, yeah, that was really strange. Then, by the way, I have a one and a half minute long song called Stop Smoking, in parentheses, We Love
You. As I take a bong rip.
Sober to Death. And then Sober to Death comes next. And as I say, no, that was the best part. That's why I started laughing. Because literally, you could hear it in the microphone, me saying, Stop Smoking, We Love You, and you hear his bubbles.
Well, I was going to edit that out of the podcast, but thanks.
Oh, my God. No, you're not editing that out, because that is perfect. Anyways, so there's a couple good songs on here. One really good song, which is the sixth song called Bodies. That is fantastic. And I had it on repeat like the past day. So that's a really good song. then the album got weird. Then he started doing some like
So Bodies being the sixth shit, like Bodies being Beck the sixth freestyling. Song in out of 10, just so the listener knows.
Yes. The listener, the humble proletarian. Yeah, it was kind of all over the place. I did genuinely like it, but it got weird really quickly. Some of the songs were like Nervous Young Inhumans, which comes before Bodies, so it'd be the fifth song, is the first half of the song is great, and then the second half he just goes into spoken word out of nowhere and just starts saying random shit that doesn't make sense, or like trying to put like some political crap on something, and I go, okay. Then, yeah, a couple other songs did that, and then there was one song that was 16 minutes long, and you're not Sigaros, so don't do that. Only Sigaros can make a 15-minute song be one of the best songs ever written in the past 20 years. You're not that cool. Sorry. But, good album.
Right.
I could be that.
yeah. Let's hear yours. Let's see. If I can, like, wrap in what I think you missed that was really big. Yeah, I think one of the big takeaways that we both had, and I think that was my jumping point, it was right around the point I realized that I had fucked up some of the recording. So that was just about 5 or 7 minutes lost. No worries. Was that
that's not bad.
I will appreciate that while this sounded like disjointed at times, there was a lot of variety in the sound. I wasn't always expecting like, okay, coming around the next corner, like expecting what's coming around the next corner. I guess that makes sense. There was a little bit of different. There's sometimes different pacing. There's different tempo. And honestly, even the longer songs, yeah, they could have been broken apart and made simpler. I didn't mind them too much because I think indie at its best is good music you can kind of play in the background and have to relax and maybe like, I think of all my friends who listen to indie as they play in the background while they're doing art. They're doing whatever particular art they have.
Like, whether that be stripping or painting or I don't know. I'm trying to think
like,
of some weird things hipsters do.
Tide pots.
Tide pools because they got nothing left to do and they need to kill themselves.
No, like.
You might need to bleep me there.
Do you proactively lose for having been bleeped from not a no-chill island?
I did say the infamous KYS.
You kind of did.
Maybe. Well,
you said them's.
I didn't tell them to. I stated what they were probably going to do. So I think I stayed within the parameters.
We'll talk about No Chill Island in just a second, but.
Oh, No Chill Island, I'm getting bleeped. I already paid my condolences. I already went to the center. Sent the Greek priest with the live chicken and everything. Already did the whole thing. I already paid my dues, paid my taxes, got my
shot at the IRS with half a chicken's head, just like, what's up? Hashtag don't tread on me.
There's some Santeria guards in the IRS.
Max Kaiser prepared my taxes. That's the name of the episode.
How's Max Kaiser?
Max Kaiser prepares taxes. Okay, anyways. Yes. I like that it's mellow and it's something that can be kind of played in the background with a level of ease or simplicity, I suppose. But yeah, I don't care for the hipster mumbling, babbling at the end. I know it's like stylistic and maybe like fans and the people you made the album for in that sense will like it or whatever. But as far as indie goes and as far as me taking this out as an album, it's just like, what are you doing? It makes it hard for me, and I think a lot of other people who are like newcomers to the genre, which I think is important for this year, to take it seriously when you kind of go into this like whole thing. But I also, while I was having these thoughts listening to the album, I was kind of thinking of music is made for a lot of different people. This album definitely wasn't made for me by any stretch of the imagination, even though, like Sean said, I find a lot of it like catchy. I find a lot of it like nice tunes that I hum. I also like Bodies. I think I liked Nervous Young Unhumans and Sober to Death as well. I even sort of like the beginning of Famous Prophets, Stars. And it's, I'm also noticing how My Boy, parentheses, Twin Fantasy is the first album, and then Twin Fantasy, parentheses, sorry, first song, and then Twin Fantasy, parentheses, Those Boys is the last song on the album. So it's just like a straight reverse. I'm docking points for that. But beyond all the hipsterness, which is sometimes so hard to get over, harder than it needs to be, there's some like diamonds in the rough. But why does this genre have to be so rough with the wailing voice and the kind of like awkward musicality at times and the like going to deep piazzas in middle school kind of vibe where like it's
oh my god. I'm gonna do it myself. I'm just get a rope. I got a fan. Done. You just brought up. That is rough. That is.
You're talking. A local indie venue in our hometown. Anyways, let's get to reviews. I'm ready for No Chill Island.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it, guys. So out of the five things, three kitty paws out of five. I think for an indie album it does its job, but in
it's too hipstery, dog. It's too
like
much.
There's like shout I can literally knuckles. Hear your knuckles like over it's clearly no
I don't care. It's 10:15.
It's not that I care, it's just like hilarious. I'm cracking my back all the time. It's no problem. I literally stuck a bong rip on here. It's fine. what I'm trying.
At least you're not giving me any stars of death like Joey Diaz does to his producer. I would literally throw him up. That'd be so fun. I would like. One day when I'm retired from racing, there's gonna be a day where I'm just staring at a wall because Danny.
Oh, when USADA just starts looking the other way at weird.
All right, there's.
They call it the Phelps rule.
Oh god, dude, that's gonna be a day. You're gonna give me like 700 milligrams and like make me.
Gonna put on the Patreon page. Now. It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be beautiful.
But oh god, it's. Jesus. I hate that this album gets in the way of its genre, in that. All the things I hate about this album are the things that purists of the genre will enjoy. And, like, that's an impasse at some point because trap has its, like, annoying sounds and, like, electronic music has its, like, predictable drops and indie has its, like, pointless, like, mumbling from and, like... Oh man, I almost said something I really shouldn't say, especially given what's happened in recent events. But it's just music for awkward people. There's no better way to put it. It's just like mumbly, kind of quiet. If you were talking to this person, like if you're talking to this musician, to this songwriter, this vocalist, as a normal person, it would not make sense as a conversation. They'd be mumbling, they'd be looking down at you. You'd want to have the date over. Like you'd say, check please, so quick. So
That's rough.
That is the defining part of indie, honestly. And I'm sorry to like turn this into a mini rant. That's the defining part of indie. And it's an impasse at this point because you should be able to make experimental offbeat music while just like, you know, cutting the crap, all right? Like, and you know, I'll accept it. I think I've done it with electronic and I've done it with trap. I'll accept the parts of the genre that I don't necessarily love if like that's an aspect of the genre. But like, I think with Sean, like I'll have to draw a line with certain genres that maybe I don't like personally have an affinity towards so much. When I say this is a little bit annoying to me and it's preventing me from enjoying this as much as I can. That being said, I do enjoy this a lot. So it earns the 3 out of 5. Sorry.
Yeah, 3 out of 5. Stop the spoken word bullshit. Other stuff is really good. Bodies is a good song. Listen to that. It's Cardi B fat.
Oh, God. Oh, shit. Okay. So, before we... Fuck. Sean, what...
I'm gonna get bleeped.
Where are your manners?
I don't got no manners. This
is No Chill Island 5.
This is No Chill.
And let's talk about No Chill Island. What are the rules to No Chill Island, Sean?
All right. Rules are very, very simple. We have a...
There's a line.
Policy on Audioface of, let's not get banned from our own network, shall we?
Yes.
So the line is, whatever we say to get bleeped, or cut, or the entire episode done, or the entire podcast over, loses first.
Because little do you know, at Syndicate 23, we have the censor. And the censor goes through every single one of our episodes to make sure that should an advertiser or a sponsor come across this episode when making a decision, will they immediately turn and run the other way? Or will they call us with a fat $5 million check to read 30-second ads for underwear? So... Which is a joke in itself. So yeah, that's No Chill Island. We get to say the craziest things possible, but the game is to not say the craziest thing possible, because the first one to get bleeped loses.
I might lose on this. Oh my god. All right.
So the first story is Cardi B fat. So there's a rumor about Cardi B being pregnant. That was allegedly sparked by her own team. Apparently, during the Super Bowl performance, her team informed a venue staff member that Cardi B was pregnant. And then...
Damn.
Apparently, yeah. She said that she was 3 to 4 months pregnant and didn't want a drink and wanted to drink water in a separate area. And then... I think the best part, which is why we were able to start this without immediately getting banned, was because Cardi B shot down pregnancy rumors. Cardi B shot down pregnancy rumors after a fan on Instagram left a comment on Instagram asking if she was hiding a Kylie Jenner secret. And Cardi B commented in response, "No, bitch, I'm just getting fat. Let me fat in peace."
I gotta get props to that. Also... I'm not even going to say that because she doesn't belong on this podcast. I mean, at least Cardi B got some smack to talk back. Also, that picture of her looks hilarious. That is on the article you sent.
Oh.
All right, if you're getting fat, go vegan.
Like, honestly, I can't hate on that, though. Like, it's definitely a hot take to have. Like, is Cardi B fat? But, like, no, that's like, it's not that I have an opinion on this. It's just that I love it. Just. It makes me
love
Cardi
I
love
her
B
thing.
A
She's
more.
Like, no, let me fat. Let me fat myself. All right,
like,
shit.
No,
fine.
And if I was, fuck you.
Right? It's like, suck on Diaz. This dick ain't free.
It's like, excuse me, I'm going to, like, enjoy myself and enjoy what I put in my body while I continue letting my other 12 out of 10 Billboard top 10, like, songs continue charting. Like, Enjoy whatever you want to, Cardi B. You're good.
Never mind.
I feel like I just like ducked, and like something almost came towards me, but I just ducked it really fast.
Yeah, because I'm saving for just one take that you're gonna just close your laptop. It's gonna be beautiful.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Okay.
Stay closer.
Whew. Okay, so next story. Migos claims the Grammys cheated them out of a Best Album win. So Migos claims that...
Fuck them.
They should have won...
You know who got cheated out of a damn fucking rap album is Vince Staples. What the hell? What are everybody doing? Fuck everybody.
Vince Staples, unfortunately, wasn't nominated for the Grammys. We talked about him on the audio.
Exactly!
But then...
Because nobody has good taste. Migos' album is 2 hours long. What do you want when they made the same song 15 times? What the hell?
Hold. So, we're talking about Culture One, for the record. So, Culture One was shorter, to be fair. So, this is the 2017 Grammys. So, this would have...
That is true.
So, Culture would have been competing against Damn, which is like... That's funny.
This is... Sorry, but Damn. Literally.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, there's a lot of opinion because, you know, like, trap has
damn,
its
damn, art. It's goddamn shame.
Right? Like, I'm sorry you released a rap album in the same year that Kendrick Lamar did. Better luck this year. And honestly, even though Culture 2 is the length of... Honestly, it might be the length of... It's almost... Culture 2 is... Very nearly the length of Black Panther.
Damn.
By 30 minutes.
The length of a fucking opera.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude.
It is largely an improvement over Culture One, and so I wouldn't be surprised if they got a Grammy nomination. And I genuinely think, although we had this disagreement in our review, that Migos does a lot different with Trap in Culture Two. There's just like so much filler that it's annoying. But nevertheless, Culture is like, oh, we'll be fucking back next year. There's nothing bigger than the fucking Culture album this whole last year. They're scared to handle the three-headed monster. The Culture will go on forever. We'll never RIP the Culture.
Choke on your own dreadlocks.
Oh, shit! Oh man!
Stupid Migos. That doesn't get bleeped either. That's perfectly fine.
that's allowable. I can't do anything about that.
Ah, this is where it ends.
Okay, so
this is where it ends.
No. Continue talking because I'm gonna see if I can play aspects of this and I'm just queuing it up. So,
oh god! All right, the only.
Thankfully. There's one good thing coming out of the fact of recording this podcast late, because we usually record this podcast Sunday mornings or Saturday
this
afternoons.
This just happened.
And so, because we record it later, we were able to see the NBA All-Star Game, and that included Fergie singing the national anthem. And shall we let her take it away?
There are many things I like in this world, right? There are a lot of things. I like cats, obviously. I like hockey. You know, there's like finer things of life. I like some very good chocolate croissants, not too much butter because butter is evil.
You like Hondas?
I like luxury Hondas, which is also known as Acura. And I love it when people butcher the national anthem. That is my Christmas. Ever since the infamous Carlos, the best thing ever from that young vegan track star, gold medalist, going, uh-oh. Anybody who does a crazy rendition of the national anthem, I'm all for it. I'm gonna keep it coming. God, and this is like getting smashed between two short buses in the brain. Like, it is bad.
Oh man,
it is bad. You she might be tone deaf right now. I assume she lip syncs at all of her concerts. That's Fergie, by the way. Yeah. I assume she lip syncs at most of her concerts because, you know, pop stars, that's what they do because they're on too much Xanax and blow that they can't move their mouth and can't feel like their eyebrows move. So, speaking of that, she made fucking Steph Curry's eyebrow raised because he's like, what is this?
Okay.
Jesus.
I need to play some parts.
Play a little bit.
Okay.
Hang on. Do you want me to? Are you gonna play it and they want me to stay silent? Oh God, yeah. I hear it.
I'm just like seeing like a slideshow of Chance the Rapper like try to keep it together, and it's just like, hold on.
God, it's so. Oh, stop!
They're just in the lie, just like, really on Black History Month?
This is what happened. This is what we do to Black people.
Hashtag the culture.
We keep the culture alive. This is the culture. This is when you. Oh, God. No, I don't want to do it now.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You know, you don't. You don't. Especially because. All right. For the next story, I might very easily lose on this next one, so you might want to hold.
Well, I'm
going to
lose on two. On,
hold. Let's wrap up Fergie. So yeah, Fergie apologized. By the way, congratulations, because when we get sponsors, we will not be able to play that ESPN clip anymore, so enjoy that. But Fergie apologized.
How do you apologize within 5 minutes of doing the performance? You need to rethink your life if you have to apologize after a performance 5 minutes after you did it.
Okay, but Carl Lewis... Okay, in defense of Fergie, Carl Lewis had to apologize for his performance in the middle of the performance.
If Fergie didn't do it, Jan, uh-oh. If she did, I would have lost my shit. I would have straight peed on my couch laughing if she did uh-oh.
I mean, everyone else uh-oh'd for her. Like, that was group... Yes, that was collective awkwardness. Everyone in Los Angeles County was just like... But anyways, Fergie said that her anthem, quote, rendition didn't strike the intended tone.
You think? What is the intended tone? What are you trying to do there? Are you trying to ruin Black History Month for everybody?
The intended...
Are you trying to bring back the three-letter K, apparently, or something? Or what? Like,
the intended... Jesus. I'll put it like this. The intended tone definitely wasn't that G-flat bullshit or whatever that was.
G-flat bullshit. Dude, she did a G... Oh, God. She did a G-flat and a B-sharp, like, together at the same time. That's some bad skill. Like, damn.
Yeah, Fergie, let's just... Here's the thing. Ever since Black Eyed Peas, I think Will.i.am realized that he's got two options. Make music for presidential candidates or work for technology companies. So Fergie, either you need to make Trump's 2020 anthem or go work for Amazon and fix their Alexa.
Go work for Amazon and like... Never mind.
Let's wrap up the podcast. Let's bring it on home. We have a little bit more left. We have some more No Chill Island. So far, so good. We're approaching the line, but next we're gonna be talking about the inbred potatoes known as Liam and Noel Gallagher, and the fact that
that's great.
I've been wanting to talk about this for a while, and... Okay, great. I have some rum. So, NME needs to stop sucking the dick of Liam and Noel Gallagher, because they awarded Liam their annual Godlike Genius Award. And...
For what?
For...
Shit he did in the 90s? What the hell?
Okay, so, to be fair, both of the Gallaghers have been more active this year. And,
oh shit, they both released an album.
Yeah, they both released an album, and like they both did different things, and they then both continued to have their own like bullshit annoying feud with each other. But so much of this feud was pumped up by NME itself. Like, it was, and here's the thing, this was perfect. Sean and I started this podcast we're almost approaching like the 10-month mark. I mean, yeah, so almost a year ago, all right? And We've been going through different music websites, different sources for y'all, trying to get like everywhere we can. And so, of course, NME is going to be a major source because for British news and British music news, they're second to maybe BBC. But like for British music news, that's a main hub, and so much music comes from that area. So of course we look there. But like every fifth fucking story, every single time, is about that fucking potato-headed twat. And I'm so sick of reading stories about these bullshit, like very, very dull, boring people. And this is coming from someone who likes Damon Albarn. Like, okay, I get it. There's like 90s Britpop that you're still fawning over, but like these 40
like the albums weren't even that great. I don't get it. What the hell?
It's these writers who probably were like interns getting in on that young Monica Lewinsky shit on NME, like when they were 20, and like fawning over this like back and forth between Oasis and Blur, going, oh, this is the Britpop wars, this is the century, who do you care about? Meanwhile, people are caring about actual things like people in Kuwait being attacked and like the precursor to weapons of mass destruction, because that's what people actually are paying attention to in life. The fact that like there's massive geopolitics and interesting things happening in the world during the late 90s, and not the fact that some like assholes NAFTA. From different parts of a colonizing country are all on this like bullshit sense of which one has the best. I think I might be getting a little too lit for this part of the episode.
Dude, you just straight like you're a Marxist right there. That's beautiful. Love it.
Four drinks later. But
I mean, like, yeah, they really need to stop knob hobbling on them. Like, come on, dude. They're like, what do you mean, godlike genius? It's shit he did in the 90s. He had an okay C+ album that we gave him, and just about everybody else gave him. For Liam, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Circus thing, whatever it's called, is actually pretty good. There's some decent songs in there, but again, it's not that great. Like, they're not revolutionizing anything.
Really quick.
God, they're like.
Really quickly, yeah, I wanted to go through, like, Pitchfork did a really nice history of like the feud between them. It goes from like 1994 where they're like screwing with each other with some of the songs. Liam hit Noel over the head with a tambourine at some point. Noel left the band mid-tour because he was just so sick of dealing with it. Noel called Liam a dick and a schlepper. Liam called Noel a dickhead and a fucking priest.
A fucking priest. That's a new one.
Liam barely attended rehearsals in 1996 for MTV Unplugged. Noel sang again and heckled his brother about singing while drinking champagne in the balcony. The show's producers asked the band to perform their first song one more time. Liam, suddenly feeling better, attempts to join the band on stage. Noel tells him to piss off. And so there's this like back and forth thing. I think Noel won a Godlike Genius award as well.
That's hilarious.
But I don't really know. I don't really care. It's just the fact that I'm so sick of, like Bam and Caesar talk about on the We Made It podcast all the time, they have this thing about hype-proof media and how they hate how they have networks that they'll go after and media outlets they'll go after who hype up certain soccer players and make them up to be something better than they are, even when they don't have the skills or the talent necessary. And this is like the music version of that, where NME is taking something they did years and years ago, like taking something from 2 decades ago. They're taking tabloid bullshit from 2 decades ago and respawning it up. Like, imagine if Gordon Ramsay and Simon Cowell were getting into an argument. Like, that's the kind of thing that, like, Piers Morgan might come his pants over, but the rest of us don't actually give a fuck about, okay? So I'm just kind of sick that NME spends so much time doing all of this, and then the fact that NME has a Godlike Genius Award. Like, I really barely am going to use NME more for sources. They're like the, like, ESPN or Fox News to me of, like, news, where, like, I just can't really take them seriously half the time. Because their reporting is so fucking biased, and I hate it. And let's see, at the time of writing, what's their most recent article about this fucking idiot group?
Jesus, they really hate each other.
Oh. Liam Gallagher calls Noel's new album Shit Kula Shaker.
Just reading, I'm literally just was reading this whole thing of like the constant insults back and forth. Man.
Yeah, this is an album. This is from February 19th.
English clusterfuck.
Liam thinks Who Built the Moon is, quote, silly.
Okay.
I think Who Built the Moon was a way better album than what Liam came out with, but that's none of my business.
Yeah, we reviewed them, and we said that, where Noel's shit was actually good, Liam's was kind of bog standard, whatever. Stupid.
Alright.
Probably picks up fights in the piss and everything, so. That's the most English I've ever been in my life.
Seriously.
In that one sentence.
Okay, Yes. Lil Pump has gotten arrested.
Oh, God.
So he was, according to Hip Hop DX, he was firing a gun inside of his own house, but it gets a little more complicated than that. He claims that three men tried to break into his San Fernando Valley home around 4 p.m. and that suspects fired a single shot through the door. Pump's manager, who was telling TMZ about this, wasn't at the house, but passed along Pump's retelling of the situation. In direct contradiction to the statement, police say it appears that the shot came from inside the house. And officers found no suspects and alleged that Pump had been smoking marijuana. An easy allegation to make, considering there's a picture of Lil Pump holding about, I'd say it looks like 10 ounces of weed in a bag in a mirror selfie in his bed, in his like house. Returning with a sword drawer, they searched the residence and found an unloaded gun in the bushes outside, and the ammo matched it inside the apartment. To make matters worse, Pump, who is 17, apparently lives at home with his mother, who is now under investigation for endangering a minor and having an unsecured gun at home.
The best part is he was in juvenile detention center. He's too young to go to jail.
Sean?
Jesus Christ, I hate this little prick. First off, your music is garbage. It is so unbelievably bad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Gucci Gang?
Like,
you haven't listened to that before you train?
I'm looking at your face. I want to look at your face, and it's such a punchable face. Like, I want to body slam you and crack your skull in half and eat it for breakfast along with some Cheerios. And the reason why allegedly his gun shot off, he's probably trying to kill himself because he hated his life and his hair and stupid name and his tattoos, and he still has braces on. And what the glasses are you wearing in that picture too? What the hell? What are you trying to be, a Powerpuff Girl? Jesus Christ.
Powerpuff Girl. Oh man!
What the hell is this dude? I don't like trap. Like very little.
Here's the thing.
But this dude is so stupid.
Like
God.
I don't get the whole like white kids deciding to like.
Is he white or is he like?
I mean,
did he go Michael Jackson style and go, but reverse Michael Jackson, go Revitaligo? Did he dye his skin brown just to act more black?
I don't know if really he's black or white so much if he's
He doesn't even care.
Fuck.
Dude, no, he's straight over. Fuck it. Damn. I think you might. Did this out?
I think we both. Well, you said kill yourself earlier, so.
That's very true. I did tell him shit. Stuff. I mean, for all that I care, he can go to juvenile detention and go to a doctor, and he's gonna. And starts running around with you like a scarecrow.
Look, I'm just sick of.
That's so bad. this whole thing just needs to be bleeped. Just put Lil Pump in jail. That's it.
Oh, God.
And then we clap to it. We both lost.
No, God.
His stupid face.
Have you noticed Lil Pump's, like, what is it with these, like, people and their neck tattoos? Like, I was noticing the other day, too, that Post
Malone's...
Okay,
I know how you didn't hear that, but okay, I'll allow it.
What didn't I hear?
And I said, do you know, it's like, do you know a little thing about, like, people who look like him? I'm like, yeah,
shit!
Lost. That has to be bleeped. it was like mumble too.
I'll have to find it and I'll get out of it.
Jesus. Woof. This is just a mine. This is a minefield.
Look, I was just gonna shit talk on Lil Pump's shitty neck tattoos, and I was gonna say how annoying like these white dudes or like white looking dudes with neck tattoos are. Because I was looking at Post Malone's neck tattoo the other day, and it straight looks like Hank Hill's ass crack.
I mean, if, hey, Lil Pump, you know who else has really shitty tattoos? Is Lil Peep, and you should follow in his footsteps, all right?
You know what would be a nicer neck tattoo for Lil Pump?
See, I ropes. Don't know.
Ropes. Damn. Just some rope markings.
Just end it. Just use those wallets, but like in your brain, please. Thank you.
All right. So there's a story in Your EDM that I think is really interesting.
That whole thing is bleeped. That's beautiful.
That whole is so bad. You know what? I'm going to keep going.
Let's do it.
There's a report in Your EDM about hip hop lyrics being claimed for glorifying Molly. I mean, hip hop lyrics that glorified Molly. Influencing MDMA use.
What?
So basically, it's this study, and I didn't look into it too much. I kind of don't care. This is a no-chill island, so we're not going to, like, care about too much. I think it's the University of South
Florida. Yeah, how about it
go? They looked at...
Did they get shot too?
The study reports that 82% of the black adults surveyed in the University of South Florida study admitted hip-hop influenced their... Yeah, the University of South Florida. That's an interesting place to do a study about Molly.
That's a ratchet-ass place.
We're going to do a study about poverty and crystal meth. We're going to do it at the University of Tennessee.
Jesus Christ. They're not at the university. Damn, they're over there in the streets in the gutters, getting like burnt crack off of a. Anyway, I'm just gonna stop.
I like my crack burned.
I'm stopping myself.
I love my crack burns. No, but they were referencing certain tracks, and the study reports that 82% of the black adults surveyed by the University of South Florida admitted hip hop influenced their decision to try MDMA with lyrics such as "Papa Molly Smoke a Blunt" by Lil Wayne. "Put Molly all in her champagne, she ain't even know it" by Rick Ross, which is pretty rapey.
Yeah, that's very rapey.
Which, if that encouraged you to try Molly, I really hope it wasn't that way. But I couldn't help but think that this is...
It's no chill, man. I don't care. It's 15 minutes away from me losing my mind, so we're close.
Oh, there's going to be so much bleeping in this. Oh, that can't be allowed. No, but all this reminded me of what happened. I keep wanting to imagine this is some FBI conspiracy, because remember in the 80s when they were like, you know what, how are we going to get the blacks? We're gonna put crack in the streets. We're gonna put drugs in the streets, and we're gonna sell them. We're gonna get them for it. We'll sprinkle some cocaine.
How are we gonna get the gays? We're gonna give them AIDS.
So what if you think? I'm just gonna keep going past that one. What if the Illuminati gets together with the FBI, and it's like the FBI is like, okay, listen, we're gonna get the to have more Molly by getting the other because I've got drugs. Jay-Z, rap about Molly. All of you, get your fucking out of here.
Sorry, I can't say that. I quit. I quit.
No! No!
I think I won.
Oh, there's one more.
I literally made Luna leave the couch. That's the best part. My cat just jumped off the couch right now because of Luna, how bad this Luna Island was.
Luna is disgusted.
And I was like, damn, dog, I knew you were prejudiced, but I didn't realize you were that bad. Sorry.
And lastly, dude, to end this
episode, Chainsmokers.
Because we always like to end the episode on a light note. Oh man, this is so bad. The Chainsmokers have released a new song directed at the media called You Owe Me.
Oh.
Honestly, when I saw
that... I was literally yell KYS, like, straight up. Like, shut up.
Honestly?
You owe me nothing. What? You literally made a band just to get chicks because your dick is too small to do anything else with it and you don't know how to use it. So you're just like, hey, let me make some crappy song so that way some basic-ass Starbucks pumpkin spice latte drinking chicks from UC Irvine go out there and blow you.
Oh my god.
It's not Joe Island, man.
If we get advertisers after this episode, I'll be amazed.
We're just not gonna air it. If we get advertisers, we're gonna delete this episode is what we're doing.
Okay, so honestly, when I saw this headline that the Chainsmokers had released a new song about the media, especially considering like the last person to do this was Taylor Swift. And I love it when artists like want to attack the media and act as though like the media is their biggest distraction. It's like, oh, I can't wait to stick down the Chainsmokers' throat. It's gonna be amazing. Damn. Like, I can't wait for this shit. And so they released a song by saying, cannot wait for you to hear tomorrow's new song. Really proud of this one. And yes, it has a drop. And even your EDM, God, which is a bit more forgiving to the Chainsmokers than I think anyone deserves to be, said the drop is underwhelming and the discordant and lead sense are nearly off-putting.
Finally, somebody's actually understanding how crappy they are.
No, but they ultimately came out and like liked it, but honestly, okay. Well, it's the same whiny, douchey white guy bullshit, and it's just so like, I honestly can't wait for... I'm gonna stop myself. No, I'm not. I can't wait for these chuggers to get fucking like... like fucking 3 minutes into the fucking race war. Because I can't wait for these... like, in their testicles. Like, I want the... I literally want... So, you know what, since we're talking about this fucking shooting over here, what if we get... I'm all for maintaining Jesus gun Christ. Control. If we get a... never make music again, then that'll be fine, Trump. Do nothing about gun control as long as the Chainsmokers die. That's Audio Phase 37.
With their accents. Now we're done.
That was the Syndicate 23 Network. This has been Audio Face. Don't follow me anywhere. I never said any of that.
I didn't do this. I don't know what it is. Bye. Ends recording.
God. Next week, if that wasn't completely off-putting, Sean and I are going to be talking, not at 11 p.m., about classical music and some other artists.
Right? The complete opposite of what we're doing right now.
We'll be talking about classical music, a couple of artists, and we'll be rounding out some other last news. And you know what? I'll also listen to the music recommendations. Some music recommendations were sent out.
Thank you.
From a while ago, because I'm finally caught up on podcasts. You know, it was funny. I had the reverse week of you, actually. I had enough time where I was able to start watching Netflix shows. I've been watching Queer Eye. It's really
good.
It's really good. Honestly, you should watch it.
What? I saw that you're using my Netflix and I got why.
Sorry. But who do you think? I think we both really lost that initial pretty bad.
Oh no.
We will be back next week with I can't believe we're
Arctic and Cheese and Tech.
We'll be back next week with a proper podcast. We'll be wrapping up this month and then blowing into, that's a poor choice of words, going straight into March.
Bad choice of words.
I'm gonna quit while we're ahead. Thank you, Sean, for doing this. See you all next week. Thank you all for listening.
Bye.